Okay, good evening. Sorry you're starting a little bit late. Had a few errands to cross off. Okay, so we are we have the second half of Siman Reish Pei Zayin, and then we'll head into Reish Pei Ches. Now, Reish Pei Zayin, we did Aleph last week, or last 2 weeks actually, it was spent on Aleph. The issue of the Sof Amud, the issue of what is really required for a doorpost in order to qualify as a doorpost for the purpose of mezuzah. Bayes sort of switches to something completely different. I say completely different, actually defining again what the doorpost is. Now this subject is really divided into two parts. One is what structure is necessary, and then B, and this will have to save a little bit, and that is, okay, and then where does the mezuzah go? What do I mean by that? So the subject has to do with an archway. If you have a door, and there is a mashkof on top, but instead of the mashkof being a straight mashkof, a straight lintel like what we're used to, it's a curve, it's an arch going through. So is that qualify? And how far down does the arch go? I mean, let's say the arch is a full arch going all the way around, and there's actually no doorpost at all. So does that mean that you don't have a doorpost, and therefore you're not subject to the obligation? So let's see. So the tour writes here on, I think, the first page of the source sheet, right? V'im yeshlo in based, one line from the bottom, v'im yeshbo shtei mezuzos v'yaskupa shaleya masuya kekeshet, that you have two mezuzos, and then on top of that is a mashkof that looks like a rainbow, that looks like a bow that's bent, right? Umis katseres v'holeches ad she'ein ba arba tfachim, and it gets smaller and smaller until there are less than four tfachim. What is the significance of four tfachim? So four tfachim is the minimum width of a door. The height of a door needs to be 10 tfachim, and the width of a door is four tfachim. So it gets smaller and smaller until aren't four tfachim anymore. So long as there is a height on the mezuzos of the doorposts of 10 tfachim, kodem sheniktzera, before it gets smaller, ad she'ein ba arba chaya, and before you get to where there is not less than four tfachim, so then you're going to be chayiv, v'im lav, and if not, so then you're going to be pater. Okay, so that is the way the tour spells it out. So the truth is, that's the most obvious case, that if you have a doorpost, that if you have two doorposts that are 10 tfachim, so long as they're 4 tfachim apart, you're going to require a mezuzah there. The question is when things are not exactly like that. So you may try to think of some examples that one might see. Actually, Rav Yudi Svei's porch, way onto his porch is an archway. That like a full arch that goes all the way around. In the Masifta, they have a couple of very long arches that have doorposts. So that leads to a question of whether you are chayiv, and then B, once you are chayiv, where on the doorpost does it go? Because the mezuzah is required to be in the top third of the doorway. So the top third minus the top tefach. That's where we have a range. Why that is the case, we will get to that down the line. That's the second half of the sugya that I wasn't going to cover.
I thought, that the mashkana lintel on top, although we're saying it could be anything that's a surah as a peta, really.
Yeah.
We have a case of, at the Young Israel, we have a case of a gate that doesn't have a lintel on top, so it shouldn't need a steel gate.
Right.
The side of the shul, they're going up to AB, the...
Oh, okay.
I've noticed the other day that in order to power this, they've pulled a cable taut right on top of that gate, so it's a cable. But it's connected permanently now with ties. A lintel?
So that's a good question. You could ask your local Orthodox rabbi or local Orthodox mezuzah doctor. I'm
asking as a theoretical
Right. So theoretically, my bet would be, I would think not, that you would not put a mezuzah there, because, yes, even though technically, halachically forms a Itzuras HaPesach, the reason the wires are there is not for the Itzuras HaPesach. The wires are there, you know, because that's the most convenient place to put them in order to get them to the ambulance. So that would be my guess, but you can pass it around to others and see if anybody says differently. Right, but he's familiar with the layout of the land, if I recall correctly. Yeah.
Understanding what he means by if the width it becomes less or tefachim, does that mean as you get closer to the top?
Right.
What are you measuring here?
So at, if you have a wide enough, what are you measuring? Well, you're measuring you're measuring the width of the door. So the concern is that as you get higher and higher, the width is getting smaller and smaller.
Right.
Well,
right. 10 yards, it's
going
to eventually get to.
Correct. Right. So that's the shaila. But once you have, I mean, what the tour has laid out is, once you have 10 tefachim in place already, so then of a straight doorway, so that's okay. Now, the question is does that have to do with the sort of the area of the doorway, or does that have to do with the tzura of the doorway, right? Does that have to do with because, oh, well, we need the requisite amount of square feet of area to be able to get through, or is it because, a door needs to look in a particular way? So that seems to be a machlokas rishonim, based on how we understand the Gemara Maseches Menachos. So if we go backwards, back to the previous page, so the Beis Yosef on the bottom page, on the bottom of the page, quotes from Beis Yosef. Here he says, "Beperakama de Erevin, Beperakama de Yoma." So kippa, it talks about a kippa. Kippa is an archway. Rabbi Meir Mechayev v'Chachamim Potrim. So when you have this kippa, so, Rabbi Meir says Chayev, Chacham say Pater, v'Shavin, but they agree Shim Yesh Baragleha Asara Shehi Chayeves. That if there are 10, if there are 10 tefachim, so then you are going to be Chayev. So v'Afal Pi period. Okay, so that is, so once there are 10 tefachim, everybody agrees, meaning both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim agree that they are Chayev. The question is if there's less than that. So he says v'Afal Pi Shekasav HaRush B'Psakav Denir DeHalacha K'Rabbi Meir, that even though the Rush writes in his Psakim that he thinks that we actually might paskin like Rabbi Meir against the Chachamim, we don't rely on that. U'Pasakan B'Ramazim, right? Chachamim V'Adiv HaPoskim, right? We're going to paskin like the Chachamim because that's what we do. When you have Machlokas Chachamim against Rabbi Meir, that's the standard Derech. So the Chachamim have pottered in the case that was described. Again, what was that case? Of a kippah, right? Of a full, it sounds like a full archway. So a full archway, the Chachamim assume you're going to be potter, while the Rabbi Meir says you're going to be chayef. So why is that? So v'nira the savar sha'af harash lo amra l'psak halacha ela lomar sha'haya nira lomar kain aval mikol makom lo naniach klal shebiyadu yachid rabin lachak rabin. Okay, that's just, we're not going to pass on like Rabbi Meir. If they dimu iksas raya shehevi lomar shalacha Rabbi Meir, he thought maybe you do, but we're not going to pass in that way. Okay, then you have a machlokas Rashi and Rambam as to what that Gemara meant. So Rashi says, shar ha'asui kikipa, you have a gate that's made like an archway. The Chacham say your putter, why? Mifnei shalamala be'igul hu, meitzar ve'eno rachav arba, ve'ein pesach pesucha me'arba rochev. He says because as the arch is going to get towards the top, it narrows. Ve'eno rachav, it's not four amos wide, four tefachim wide anymore. V'ein pesach pechusa me'arba rochev, and a door cannot be considered open if it's less than four tefachim wide. Okay? So, what is he... But they agree, as we see the next line, that if there are 10 tefachim at the bottom, before it begins to become a circle, you're going to be chayev. Why? Because you have 10 tefachim high, and you have four tefachim wide. And even if the entire... the entire archway seals up, you still have the shear, and therefore you're going to be kasher. Meaning, so long as you have a 10 tefachim by 4 tefachim area, 40 square tefachim, and I don't think it could be adjustable, you know, 20 by 2 is not going to count, it's 10 by 4, so long as you have 10 by 4, you're going to be chayef. That seems to be the way Rashi understands it. So that being the case, what about if it's going to be, right? So Rashi, if that's the case, Rashi is then opening the door to, what about if it's wider than four tefachim at the bottom and starts narrowing before ten tefachim, right? But you are able to have that space that's going to be in there. So Rashi seems to open the door that such a doorway, no pun intended, that such a door is going to be chayiv in a mezuzah. However, the Rambam says no. He explains it differently. Shekasav bayis sheyeshlo mezuzah mikan mikan v'kipa kimin keshes al shtei hamezuzos b'makom hamashkov. Right, you have the keshes there in place of a mashkov. Imyesh b'kova hamezuzos sar tefachim o yoser. They have to be 10 tefachim of mezuzos chayiv. And if there are 10 tefachim, you're going to be putter because that's not then going to be considered to be a mashkov. Meaning, unless the doorpost is going 10 tefachim high, that's not going to have a tzuras ha-pesach. It's not going to look like a pesach, in which case the Rambam would say, you're going to be putter. The way the Rashba has it in Truvi seems to agree with the Rambam, kol sheyesh b'ragli ha-kipa asara kodem sheyaskal lis hagel, yesh lo din pesach v'chayeves b'mezuzah. Right? It's going to be chayev in mezuzah before it turns in. By the way, I would add, according to Rashi, it seems that if it would be a 5 tefach high wall, but very far apart, such that there's a very large archway, Rashi would say, in that case, you would be chayiv. And the Rambam would say that you would be putter. So, for example, any large archways around that we can think of. Oh, like at the Kotel. Right, that front, when you go to the Kotel, and you want to go to the indoor part of the men's side of the Kotel, so right by the wall, there is that archway, right? You walk through an archway. Now, this isn't going to be a very good example because in the Kotel, there's like bars and stuff that are there, which are going to create Tzuras HaPesach. But if you just have that archway there that goes all the way from one end to the other and there's nothing on the bottom, but it's still wide and high, meaning it is still wide, big enough in order to get through, so that would be subject to this machlokas. Rashi would hold that you're chayv in a mezuzah, and the Rambam would hold that you are putter in such a case, because the Rambam would say, listen, you don't have two doorposts, so if you don't have two doorposts, so there's nothing to talk about in terms of a mezuzah. So just to conclude the Beis Yosef here, it says V'Rabbeinu Nira Iker Perusha Kedivrei Rashi El Shenimshach Ksas Achar Kedivrei Rambam. He says he thinks that the tour seems to mainly pass in like Rashi, but with a little bit of Rambam mixed in. And he writes that in Yeshlo Shtei Mezuzos V'Askupa Shaleim Asuya Kekeshes V'Ilu Leferish Rashi Afilu Ein Sham Shtei Mezuzos Klal. Even if there weren't two doorposts at all, Ela Shemitchila Marchil Lehisagel Im Yeshbo Gova Asara Baruchiv Arba Chayeves. According to Rashi, he wouldn't require any doorposts at all. Now, there is a bit of a question that I have on that, because the Gemara itself seems to require a 3 tefach doorpost. I mean, the way the Beis Yosef is quoting it, he says, well, if it's a full archway, so Rashi would say chayiv, the Rambam would say putter. The Gemara itself seems to say that, no, you need at least 3 tefachim for there to be considered to be a doorpost. For some reason, that 3 tefachim issue doesn't make it into halacha. Not sure why not. But it just doesn't. It's just not there. It's either 10 tefachim according to the Rambam or no tefachim according to Rashi, provided that the space is going to be large enough. So if you take a look then in the Shulchan Aruch, I think Shulchan Aruch is page 4 or 5 in the source sheet. I didn't.
4.
So page 4 here. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Sif Beis, Bayis sheyesh bo mezuzah mikan mikan v'kipa kimin keshes al shtei mezuzos. So you have mezuzos. Doesn't tell you what sizes the mezuzos are, but you have mezuzos on each side, and you have a kippa on top, like a rainbow. Al shtei hamezuzos b'makom hamashkov im yesh begova hamezuzos yud tefachim o yoser chayiv v'inein bo yud tefachim pater. If there's 10 tefachim high, you're going to be chayiv. And if not, you're going to be putter. Because that's not, I'm not sure why he says that's not considered a mashkof. Really, it's not considered to be a doorway. I see. Okay, the Taz seems to raise that issue from the Kesef Mishnah. But the but that's the he is quoting the Rambam's opinion that you need to have 10 tefachim of a doorpost, because otherwise that's not going to be considered to be a Tzuras HaPesach. However, if you take a look at the shach on the side here in Sif, the Ramah continues. Sorry, before we get to the shach, the Ramah continues. It says v'chol shekein pesach she'ein lo gova asara tefachim de pater mezuzah. And certainly, if the doorway is not 10 tefachim high, certainly you're going to be putter. Comes the shach and says v'das Rashi v'ha Mordechai v'ha Tur. Then no, the be'ina nami shehei rach of dalid. As long as it's 4 tefachim wide, that would be okay. V'chasav beis Yosef v'abachdil firish Rashi. If you ain't sham beis mezuzos, even if you don't have 2 mezuzos at all. Now, that at all is the part that I don't get, because I think you do need a little bit, but okay, that's what the Shach says. Elamachilis agil me'aretz. It begins its curvature, if that's the right term. It begins to curve at the ground, right? There's no doorpost at all. Still, me'aretz afilu hachi chayiv imish gova yud baruch of dalet. If it creates a space that is 10 high by 4 wide in terms of tefachim, so you're going to be chayiv even if there is no straight doorpost. So that's what the Shach is saying. He doesn't say it outright, but I'm sure, as you can imagine, if one would be confronted with that situation, we would paskin, you put up a mezuzah with out of bracha, right? That would be the psak on such a doorway.
The archway, to the ground, is the bottom road approximates a straight line.
I mean, the very bottom, the I mean...
The very bottom, I mean, the first two tefachim is really... If, on the other hand, this was not an archway, but like, so there's no part. It starts off, it's already an angle, probably wouldn't put a mezuzah on there.
I'm not sure. I think it would be also subject to the same machlokas. I mean, the Rambam is going to require straight doorposts for 10 tefachim. Now, how straight is straight? I don't know. I'm not sure how straight it would require it for it to be straight. I mean, we have a shear in Hilchos Eruvin as to how straight something has to be going up in order for it to be considered a wall. But I don't think the Rambam would apply that here. But I think you would say the same thing. If you have like a triangle doorway, so the Rambam would say Pater, and Rashi would say Chayiv, provided that you have the right area, provided that you have enough of an area. So I think I have, yeah. So if we go down to the next page, I put in a couple of, from the Sefer Agrabo Alecha. So he already is talking about placement here. I'm not sure I put the best pictures here. He's already getting into where the mezuzah goes on the doorpost. Because if you're talking about a large archway, so then you're going to have a problem because is the where does the mezuzah has to go on the doorpost. So if it's a long archway without much of a doorpost, so where is the mezuzah going to go? Right, so that's a question that we'll have to. I think we'll hold off on. But here on the top, he says, "Hayirugli a pesach zukufim meshach yud tefachim u'misham ve'ilach a pesach misagel kekipa." That's with it's 10 tefachim high, and then there's a kippa on top. So then certainly it'd be chayiv. But where it goes is going to be a machlokas, as we'll get to. And yesh omrim shirak hachelak hazakuf nidun kemezuzah a pesach. Only the part that's straight is like a Pesach, Rambam, right? Actually, this is already getting into where that's supposed to be, and that we'll save to later. But here, you can use the diagrams on the bottom. Actually, these diagrams on the bottom are all 10 tefachim ones, except for the rightmost one. So the rightmost one is interesting because the mashkuf is straight, but the doorpost is what's curved. Okay, so we still would measure and figure out the bottom of the top third of the doorpost, even though in this case it appears that the doorway is curved. But I think we'll hold off a little bit more on figuring out those details. Yep.
You have a mezuzah on that, on number 49.
Yeah, so he does have a mezuzah there because he would say that.
Why? It's not a straight
mashkel. So according to, but we have some like a mixture of Rashi and the Rambam. So according to Rashi, Rashi's all about the area. So if the area is there, so the Rashi would say to put one there. Right, that's the Shach, meaning the Shulchan Aruch said no, and the Shach said yes. Shulchan Aruch passed on like the Rambam, and the Shach said, yeah, but we have the Shita of Rashi, and therefore we're going to require mezuzahs on those doorways.
So, mezuzah on number 49?
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so then, all right, so let's, so now the Ramah here jumps into here, and this is, essentially, we quoted this from the Tshuva itself, from the Ma'aril, but the Ramah sticks it in here for some reason, not sure why, but then he says, Haminog nis, and it's interesting, the historical comment here, he says, Haminog nispashit b'medinos elu, that the minog has spread in these countries.
What are you reading that?
In the Ramah, back in the Ramah, on the page in Shulchan Aruch. Says the minhag has spread in these countries. Derov ha'olam somchin al mezuzah achas she'osen al pesach bateihim. That most of the olam, most people, rely on the one mezuzah that they put up on the doorway to their house. The einonach, right, and that's it. I mean, they put up one mezuzah on the doorway to their house, and they don't worry about it anymore. Says the einonach, I think that's incorrect. The ein lahem amashi yismichu, and they don't have what to rely on. Lachain kol yirei shemayim yitakein beso kedino b'chol hapsachim hamachayvin v'chemo shenispire. Says there, all yirei shemayim should set up their houses in the appropriate way, as we'll explain. I'm not sure why he's sticking that in here, but that's what the way, you know, that this is, I think it might be a quote from the Maharil, but here's the Ramah saying, each doorway to each room requires a mezuzah. It's not just sufficient to put one mezuzah up on the on the front door.
So it's interesting, he's not harder than that, right? I mean, he's just saying, Yerushalayim should do this. I mean, it's not so that's not Lonachon, and you have to do it.
Yeah, so.
But he doesn't say, Eino Nachon, but he doesn't say, and therefore.
I don't know. I think. Classic Ramah is in some in these types of situations. He would say, "Ve'enu nachom aval yesh lahem amashi yismichu." Meaning, if the Ramah really wanted to sort of pardon that behavior, so he would say they have what to rely on. But I don't think he wants to pardon the behavior, and it's also not. I think I didn't check, but I believe this is a direct quote from the Maharil. So the Maharil's tshuva, the context of the Maharil's tshuva is. Right, the Ramah is writing a book, the Maharil is writing a tshuva. And the Maharil, it was asked, the question was, it seems to me that you really should put a mezuzah on every doorway. Am I going to be in violation of yuhara if I do so? Right, will I be considered haughty if I do so? The Maharil says, you're never considered haughty for just doing what the mitzvah requires. I mean, it might be yuhara to make some big chumrah, but if the Torah requires something, the Torah requires it. So therefore, he's talking to this person and telling him that what they're doing is not correct, they don't have what to rely on, so therefore, Yirei Shemayim should do this. Now, right, usually Yirei Shemayim is the line there that's a bit tricky, because Yirei Shemayim is a code word. Yirei Shemayim is usually a code word for some type of chumrah, but I'm not sure that's really in the Mishnah Berurah land. I'm not sure, you know, this is a couple hundred years beforehand, and it's the Maharil, it's not the Ramah. I'm not sure you can, I'm not sure we could read into that. I mean, I think this is the halacha. I don't think there's really a way around it. Hold on, I'm getting disturbed here. Okay, so the Pesachei Shuvah here doesn't really, he says, I'm Bishav, I'm not sure where he is sending us. Now, I would, if you take a look on page, where are we, 5, 6, so page number 6 from the Sefer Agur Bo'alecha, so I want to get in 3 columns here. So here is where, this is from very, very early in the book, you can see it's Perek Beis. So right, bayis sheyesh bo kama chadarim hamishamshim l'dior. If you have many rooms that are used for dior, chayv l'kvo b'chol cheder v'lo dai b'mezuzah shev pesach achnisa achitzoni. Right, it's not enough just to rely on the one door that's coming from the outside. You need to have one in every doorway. So if you look here at the footnote on the bottom, so he says here in footnote number lamed hey Ramah, right? That's the Ramah upashat shechiyev shar chadrei habayis humidoraisa. Right, it's not just. Right, it's full chiv. he doesn't say it here, right? But the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah, when it defines the dalad al dalad, the 4x4, so there he's listing off things that are considered to be a bias. So therefore, he's going to say, right? So every room is considered a bias at the same level. It's not just a etc. Now he does turn in and said that tam shenogu ba'ashkenaz likvoa raka pesach nisa lebayis. The reason why the custom seemed to be only on one door, so the bach and the shach, right? We saw this earlier. Mishum shahayat tzava'o erva b'samach l'shar p'sachim, that they used to have excrement and other wastes and things like that close to the other doorways, so maybe that's why they didn't do it. But and so the minhag came, okay, we only have one on the front door. But he says that that's incorrect. And then he quotes here, b'sefer cheshbonos shel mitzvah, from the Aderet. I didn't know this was that Aderet wrote such a sefer. But in the sefer the Aderet, you know who the Aderet is, one of these people that are most famous perhaps for his son-in-law, but he was pretty prominent in his own life. The Aderet was Rav Yitzchak, I forget the full name, he was Rav Kook's father-in-law. And then he was also the Rav in Panovich, in the city of Panovich, he was the Rav there. And then the story goes is that the Rav of Yerush, he wanted to make Aliyah, I think with, maybe I forget if it was before or after Rav Kook did, but probably before. And he was actually, and in Israel, so the Rav of Yerushalayim at the time was Rav Shmuel Salant. So Rav Shmuel Salant was already getting a little older, and the people in the community wanted to hire an assistant rabbi. Meaning he couldn't get to everything, so the community wanted to hire somebody that would, in theory, be trained under Rav Shmuel Salant, and then would take over as the chief rabbi after Rav Shmuel Salant would pass away. So I think Rav Shmuel Salant at the time was something like in his 70s or something like that. And so they hired the Aderet. The Aderet made Aliyah from Panovich to Yerushalayim, and I think passed away after about 10 years. And Rav Shmuel Salant was still alive. So Rav Shmuel Salant lived outlived him by a while, by 5-10 years or something like that. So on the Aderet's Matseva in Yerushalayim, it says his name, and it says Shenimnu Leos Rav Shel Yerushalayim. Right, he was chosen to be the Rav of Yerushalayim, even though he never actually was the Rav of Yerushalayim on his own. But anyways, so the Aderet. So I tried finding the sefer. I went to the Otzer HaChachma. So the Otzer HaChachma has it, but it's under copyright. I'm not sure how this works. Apparently, there's a new printing of it, which the Otzer HaChachma has, but can't print, or I don't know who is entitled to it. So all I have is the quote here. But the Aderet here says, hey, wait a second. But it says, Al Mezuzos Beisecha, right? So it sounds like, Abayis Hushem Kola L'chol Chedrei Habayis. So why don't we just say that the Bayis is the name that is used to collect all the rooms of the house? And just say, that's Pshat and Pasuk. Pshat and Pasuk is, Al Mezuzos Beisecha, on the doorways of your house, meaning the ones that leave into your house. So he adds, so the Agur Bohalecha, I think himself, is responding. Why do you have one in every room? And so the Agur Bohalecha, I assume, responds by saying, I'm not sure, Kashale, I'm not really sure what his problem was. He says, the Adaraba, Im Beisecha Hu Kol Habayis, Im Kein Mezuzos Beisecha Ozil Al Kol Pischei Hachadarim, V'lo Barak Pesach Hachitzoni. He says, if he was right, it should say, Al Mezuzah Beitecha, on the mezuzah of your house. The fact that it says the mezuzos of your house, plural, indicates that there are going to be multiple doorways in your house that are going to require, and therefore it would be better to turn to the halachic definition of house, which is every room that is larger than Dalet al Dalet. Okay, so that is the way that we paskin, Adkan, Reish Pei Zion. Okay, so I want to, let's see, time. Okay, I think we could head into Reish Pei Ches a little bit here. So, the Shulchan Aruch here says Reish Pei Ches, back into the tour for a second. Back to page 2, I guess, in the source sheet. Yeah, so he doesn't give you much here. But the Torah says, Ketzad mitzvasa. So what is the mitzvah? So yikach or echad, take one piece of skin, or parchment, right? Sheyesh bo lichtov parsha shema vayam shemoa. That you'll write on it, The parsha of Shema, En Vahaya Im Shemoa, continues on, V'yichtam Zeh Achar Zeh Keseder. You should write it, this one after that one in order, meaning Shema followed by Vahaya Im Shemoa. V'yimshina V'hiktim Vahaya L'Shema. And if you have Vahaya before Shema, so then that's going to be Pasul, right? So that's no good. Fine. The Beis Yosef here on the bottom, Aleph, is quoting from the Michilta. Now, I wanted to add in, if you go to the next page, so it actually skips a page in the official book, but page 3 on the in the source sheets here. So on the bottom here, so the Beis Yosef isn't always following exactly the order of the tour, and neither is the Shulchan Aruch following exactly the order of the Beis Yosef. So here is the second part of Aleph, where he says that it should be placed revach lamal, or written a revach lamala ulamata kechatzi rochev tziporin, that there should be a space on top and a space on the bottom, at least the width of a fingernail. So where is he getting that from? So that's a Gemara, right? Perek HaKomitz, the Beis Yosef here says, Perek HaKomitz, Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Meir, Haya Osa, Revach Lamalu, Lamata, right, there has to be space on top and the bottom. Amar Rav Chananel, Amar Rav, Halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, V'kama Kamali Etzba, the Sifri, V'chasav Arash, Shepir Shraga Onim, Dahainu Keruchev Chatzi Tziporin, meaning part of your fingernail, and that's it. So truth is, now all my mezuzahs are in the basement. Maybe, oh, okay. So, right, so at this point, he's referring to, not able to, there you go, right, the top and the bottom, okay? That there needs to be a space on top of the bottom. It's not, I'm not showing anything that's a big chiddush yet. But then he continues on and says, he says, King Kas of Rush, Vizel Lushonu, V'revach, he says, Mashkaz b'tchila k'dei lagul osa, right? So this is quoted from the Torah on top, that there needs to be a space in the beginning in order to encircle the entire thing. So what's he talking about? So if you see here, right, the space on this side in the beginning is much wider than the space on this side. So he's talking about there needs to be a space on this side in order to encircle the, in order to wrap the entire thing. Now, we're not so machmir on this. We'll see in a second what the issue is, right? So, but if you get a mehudr mezuzah has a large amount of, has like a centimeter of space on the right margin to be mekayim this halacha. So now he says, though, he says, Kain kasav arash v'zel l'shon v'revach shemin hatzdadin lo perish. He says it's not clear what the ones on the side. I mean, the Gemara says there needs to be space on top and on the bottom, but it doesn't say that there needs to be space on the side. He says, v'yirish etzarech la'aniach betchala k'dei lagul klaf, that there needs to be enough in order to encircle the klaf, meaning you should have enough blank space to circle the klaf. Kivan de nichreches me'echad kalpe shema, and because it's wrapped from right to left, I'm sorry, from left to right, right? You wrap it from left to right. So therefore, the right side needs to have enough to circle the entire thing. Come over, like a Sefer Torah. L'manda amr l'tchilasuhu niglal. Ava b'sofo, you don't need that. Ein tzarech revach, you don't need that much space. So that's the rush. So therefore, there are mezuzahs. I meant to bring a mehudr mezuzah from the basement, but there are mehudr mezuzahs that have a significant amount of space on this side to fulfill this din. Now, many don't. Why not? And I tell you, he says, v'chein heim divrei atosfos, and that's what Tosfos says as well. But the smag, and the smag. Uvagos maimani kasvu b'shem sefer truma she'ein tzarech laniach b'tchila, that we don't put it at first. Why? K'dei lagul hekef minhago she'yehe shin dalad yud nira mi b'chutz. Because our minhag is that the shin dalad yud needs to be seen from the outside. Where is the shin dalad yud? So the shin dalad yud, actually, here's the shin dalad yud here. Shin dalad yud corresponds to the space between the Shema and the Vayayim Shemoa. That's where the shin dalad yud goes, right? So if the shin dalad yud, which is our minhag, now where exactly that minhag comes from will not resolve tonight, but right. But so if the shin dalad yud is over there and you want to wrap up the mezuzah, if you wrap it too, if there's too much space at the margin here, that's going to encircle the entire thing and you're not going to be able to see the shin dalad yud anymore. right? And that's the problem. So so therefore the minhag, many have the minhag dafka not to do that. Now I'm hearing several noises from outside, so I need to stop. I'll just conclude with one thing. If you go to page seven, the last page on the source sheet here. So the last page on the source sheet shows you what some recommend. If you see picture number 7, where there's a little tziporin there myself, right? So there, in order to get the shin dal yud and to have a wide margin, so what is the recommendation? To cut a little bit into the margin so that you're able to see the shin dal yud. Some have that custom. Not too many have that custom. I think either if you want to get the shin dal yud, you just don't wrap it so tight. That's one possibility. Or you just don't do the shin dal yud, etc. So I got to end this year. Sorry about this. I'm hearing things from outside. But we'll call it a night now and pick up Mir Sashem with this next week. Okay. Have a good night.